Right, so we're up to the 10th perek, Sefer Chovos Talmidim. Harbe Po'omim. Roya Ha'adam Stiras. There's many times that a person will see something that seems to be contradiction. It seems to be a conflict. Stiras. Rak mipnei she'eino mistakel el toicha inyan pnima. Because he's not looking inside to understand what's going on inside of it. He's not looking deeper. Ela alivushon mibuchutz ma'abit. He's looking on the surface. We spoke about Esav was that way. He called it the red stuff. He was very superficial. And it would be im yachtor, if he would only dig, drill, el pnimius, and try to understand what's going on inside. El nefesh ha'inyan, go to the soul of the matter. Go to the heart of the matter. Yira she'ein stira, you'll see that there is no stira at all. Ein kushuv, ein teretz. It's not that there's a good teretz to kash. There's no kasha b'chlal. There's no stira at all. If you get to the real heart of the matter. Hakol inyan yosher, this is a very straight idea, straight concept. Rak she'mistoev l'harbe drachim. It goes off in many different directions, that's fine. If a tree at the trunk is one tree and it goes off in branches in different directions, that's not a stira. It's all coming from the same tree. So too over here. And he's prepping us for a stira. Gam ata heyoy shebetach miskasha ata bidvareinu leimor. Now, also you probably are confused, conflicted. You feel like there's a stira in what we've been telling you. We've been selling you the following thing. Haloy stirois roya ani bazeh. You're saying there's something that doesn't add up over here. I see stirois in what you're saying. Maschil mitchil, in the beginning, iftiach oisu, you've guaranteed me. Lis ale, I'm going to go up, lis gadel, ligodol b'Yisrael, I have greatness inside of me. I have tremendous koiches, and then I can bring out, you can access these great midas, and I could be one of the gadol Yisrael. Afimeini margish b'kir b'gadlis, even if I haven't felt that I have some greatness inside of me, v'lo achshar yisera, not particularly talented. Because inside of me there's a treasure that's buried, that's just waiting to be discovered. The kedusha ilah, there's this lofty, this holiness, tzfuna that's hidden, v'ne eloma, and that's out of sight. Gami many, and even I'm not in touch with that because it's locked up somewhere down in the recesses of my soul. But it's there. You're telling me it's there. But avod is goofy if just I work hard. Hard work, no jokes. Tisgale, but I will reveal ube omel nafshi, and with that the amelos that I'm putting in, the consistent work on my nefesh, tisale, I'm going to grow. You guarantee me that. V'acharkach, and then future prakim afterwards, moidehu, you admit Shemidois roi spikirbi. You start telling me about all the problems I have, all the deficiencies I have, all the flaws that I have. Midois roi spikirbi. Vioi reini lesakum. You tell me I have to fix this, I have to fix that. Oh, I thought you told me I'm so great, and now you're telling me I'm so dysfunctional, I'm so imperfect. Ha teinach. I would be understand. Sheini margish es kedushasi. I can deal with the fact that I don't feel great. I can deal with that. Because, okay, you're telling me I haven't accessed it, I haven't touched it yet, I haven't unlocked it. Okay, that I can deal with. But now you're telling me I'm a bad person. You're telling me I got problems. You're telling me I have deficiencies and flaws. And you know that there's sickness or there's problems in my nefesh. So where are all these bad midas coming from that you're talking about? If I'm made of such good stuff, so then where is this coming from? That you're saying are set in my nefesh. As if this is a description, a definition of who I am. V'tiva, and its nature. Im Oitzer Kedusha. I thought you said that. I have an Oitzer of Kedusha. What's going on? What am I? Am I greatness in the making? Or do I have all these flaws and imperfections? Stira. Answers the Rebbe, Ka'omor, Stira hi. Like we mentioned, it's a stira rak only in mistaklim bechitzoini osinyoneinu levad. If you're only looking on the outside, if you're just looking superficially, aval im iefshar lanu li hishoyer bilavush hachitzoini. We can't stay that way. That's the way a child looks at things. We have to try to look deeper. We can't stay with just the externals. V'loy nagia el tachliseinu bezelavad. With that, we're not going to get to where we want to our purpose, to our goal. Ki be'inyan tikkun hamidos asher dibarnu ad ata, concerning perfecting your midos, which we've been speaking about up until now, rak eich lehisapek mehem ve'eich lekovshom v'lo yashchus ben me'ishas atzmoy v'lo etzulosoy lo yaspik lanu lovo el tachliseinu. If you just quiet your bad midos, if you silence the problem, we haven't accomplished our goal. I'll say it again. Rak echlis apik ben ve'echle kovsham, to conquer them. Ve'lo yashchis, and they shouldn't be destructive. Not to himself, not to anyone else. Lo yaspik lono. It's not enough. Imloi nahafoich oisan midois. Rois be'atzman lima'oirei esh. Haflov a fella. The Rebbe is telling us, what we're going to do is, we're not going to like try to kill part of your personality. We're not going to try to like put an end to some of the things you do. We're going to try to channel all of your midos that were quote unquote bad midos. We're going to try to channel them in the right direction, because they're not bad. You're just not using them properly. And when you don't use them properly, they end up doing bad stuff. That's all it is. You're going to nahafach oisam. Oisam midos rois v'atzman lima oire esh. It'll become like a torch, a flame, a fire. We could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the same midos. And then everything about us, the insides of us, will become Am Kadosh, a holy people. Sgula, the chosen people. Mamleches koyanim, the priestly, the lofty people. Kivisharoitze v'hisna Hashem imanu meirosh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, that was in condition. That's what he told us originally. So I'd like to share with you a thought. I said this past two Shabbosim ago, and when we were in Chutz Laretz, from the Lev Avram of Avram Weinfeld. He says a pshat. And why did Avram Avinu tell Eliezer, Losikach isha libni mibnoi saknani asher anochi yoshev b'kirvon kim el artzi ve'el moiladati? What was like? Avraham Avinu had this nostalgia about back in the haim. You know. I don't know if you have people talk about back in the haim, the way it was back in the klois, back in the haim, back at home, the way it used to be in Europe. In Europe, I don't know if it was so hatsi tatsi back in Europe in the day. There was pogroms in Europe. There was blood libels in Europe. You know, people are. Oh, Europe, we go back to visit Europe. I don't know if it was really so peachy back there. But I can tell you one thing for sure. Or Kazdim was not like enjoyable for Avraham Avinu. He was thrown into a furnace, for goodness sakes. What in the world is he doing? No one from over here. Avraham Avinu has this whole revolution, Bali Tshuva, going on all over the place, and he's like being a car of people and everything. He's like, no, none of these people, they're not good for us. Eliezer, you're not good for me. Nope, sorry. I want someone from back there. You remember that place? You know the guy that threw me in the furnace? Find someone from like his family. It's like, what are you doing? That's crazy. What did Avraham Avinu see back there? This Rebbe from Weinfeld asked this question. And he says a beautiful teretz. He says, if a person is a tzaddik or a rasha, it's not something that you get necessarily b'yerusha. But you can inherit a certain character trait. Like a person who is stubborn. Stubborn can be terrible. Stubborn can be great. Stubborn can be terrible. Like imagine what you would do if you saw someone, like, you threw someone in a furnace and he came out alive. You would be like, whoa, that's unbelievable. Can I have your card? Can I know what religion you're a part of? Can I, like, right? You'd think that everyone will all of a sudden say, Hashem Elokim. It didn't happen. You know, they did. They took the next guy, threw him in the furnace also. They're like, okay. They were unfazed. How were they unfazed? I've never been worked out of a furnace. How were they unfazed? Because they were stubborn people. And Avram said, it's great that I'm making all these bali tshuva. It's awesome. It's great. I give them some cake. You know, I give them some cookies. We'll sing a song. I'll put my arm on their shoulder. And they're all from beautiful, amazing. But you know the saying, easy come, easy go. This is not what I want Klal Yisrael to be made of. I need someone stubborn. Now, in a Hanami, up until now, they've been using that for the wrong reason. But if I could just channel that for the right reason, and I could make the Yidden stubborn people. We went through a lot as a nation. We went through persecution, annihilation, assimilation, went through hunger, went through so much. And we're still here. You know why we're still here? Because we are stubborn people. You could take that same midah and just channel it properly, and a person can... So we can't say stubborn is bad. It depends where you're channeling it, how you're using it. So now, that's why Rivka is chosen. So Rivka is there. She was the chosen one because she's stubborn, right? Which means she's going to stick to what she does. She's not going to let anything sway her or anything like that. So Rivka comes and she gets pregnant and she's very excited. And she walks by a base medrash and all of a sudden her child is kicking to come out. She's like, wow, my child has this like strong draw towards Ruchnius. That's amazing. That's beautiful. Wow, he's going to be really stubborn in his Avodas Hashem, I'm sure, right? And then she walks by a base Avodah Zarah and she's like, he's kicking again. She's like, wait a second. What's going on over here? Wait, hold on a second. I was brought into this picture because you wanted someone who was stubborn, who's going to stick to what they believe in. So why do I have, what's going on? Wait a second. She asked the question, in Cain, Lama Zeh Anoichi? Why me? You chose me so you could have a kid who, like, during the week he's in yeshiva, but Thursday night he's all going to town? That's what you chose me for? That's what you need me for? To have a guy that, like, lives two lives? That's not what you need me for. You brought me here because you want someone stubborn. You want someone who could deal with the fact that he has challenges and overcome them. So, like, why am I in this picture if my kid is, like, wishy-washy? Hashem says, no. Shnei goyim bevitnech. Neither one of them is the wishy-washy. You got two kids in there. Yaakov is all the way. He's all the way ruchnius. Esav is all the way. He's all the way averus gashmius tuma. They're both going all the way, all out. That's you, Rivka. That comes from you. I heard once from Rabbi Beryl Wine. Rabbi Beryl Wine was talking about someone by the name of Trotsky. Trotsky, those of you that might know a little bit of Russian history, was one of the fathers of the communist movement. One of them, Leonard Marx, Stalin, Trotsky. Who's the other guy? Who's before? Was it Leonard Marx before? Was for Stalin? Yeah, who's the one before Stalin? Okay, these are the leaders of communism. Trotsky was Jewish. The other one weren't Jewish. I mean, they killed so many Yidden. Believe it or not, Stalin killed more people than Hitler did, Yimach Shemam. Stalin was a total maniac. Al Kopanim, Trotsky was Jewish. Now, the whole idea of communism is anti-religion. They said religion is the opium of the masses, which means that it's like a drug, and, like, you know, religion is ridiculous, and we're and they didn't have freedom of religion in communism, communist Russia. Now, Leon Trotsky's grandson is a Baal Tshuva. He's a Baal Tshuva who has a beard and payas and tzitzis. And when they found him in Israel, now you have to know something, the founders of the state of Israel were pretty communist. The whole idea of a kibbutz and a moshav is really communism. They used to have the kids used to sleep in the same, and they didn't sleep with their parents. They slept in in their own house. Kids ate in their own house. It was basically, communism is like we're all together. Most of the founders of Israel were communist. So they were very into communism. So they found Leon Trotsky's grandson. And they interviewed him. And the Israeli reporter had the nerve to say to him, like, what would your grandfather do if he saw you now? You know, here he is, like, my grandson, a religious Jew. So he said, let me explain something to you. My grandfather's a believer, and I'm a believer. We're both believers. He believed in communism. I believe in Torah. I'm just doing the same thing he's doing. I'm just channeling it different. My grandfather would be disappointed if his grandson was just, you know, non-committal about things. You know, I'll do a little this, do a little that, not really, doesn't choose a path. I chose my path. And what the Piasetzna is saying over here is that the midos that we have, we just have to channel them properly. And a person can use what Leon Trotsky used for bad purposes, he could use for good. The Piasetzna actually writes somewhere else, in the Sefer Eish Kodesh, the following thing, and it's very obvious now based on what he's saying over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Klal Yisrael because Klal Yisrael doesn't seem to be getting the message. And he says, Ra'isi es al mazev, hine am ksheoyrefu. I see these people, they're stubborn people. And it's as if Hashem is saying, I can't work with these people. They're not getting the message. And then a few psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Yelech no Hashem bekirbeinu, ki am ksheoyrefu, Hashem. We want the Shekhinah here because we're stubborn people. Well, what? I don't get it. Stubborn people is the reason why we're good or is the reason why we're bad? Says the Piasetzna, it's both. If you use it right, then it's great. We will not leave you, Hashem. We will not leave you. Once we're in, we buy in 100%. Nothing will stop us. It might be hard to get us to buy in. I told a story. There was years ago, I'm going to say almost around 20 years ago it was, that there was a couple who walked into town in Denver, Colorado, claiming that they were Jewish. The name was Goldberg. And they were a Balei Tshuva. But the truth be told, it wasn't that way at all. He was actually the son of a Baptist minister. And they were infiltrating the Jewish community in Denver. It's a true story. Rabbi Schwab, who's the head of the community there, one of the heads of the community, Rabbi Baron, who is also very involved. I heard the story from Rabbi Baron's son-in-law. It was a pretty high-profile story. He had a ticket to come to Israel. This couple, they remarried them. He had a beard, payas. He was under his talus, swaying the whole time. They put on a great show. They put on a great show. Until someone who was not religious happened to have gone to their father's church and told Rabbi Schwab, I just want to tell you something. This guy's not Jewish. His father's a Baptist minister. And they checked it out, and his name wasn't Goldberg. The whole thing was one big fake. And it was rough times. Everyone had to kosher their kitchens because these were fake people. And it was like big hawk. So I was talking to one of the heads of Or Sameach, and I asked him, did anyone ever try to infiltrate Or Sameach that way? I don't ever try to get an Or Sameach and they fake their way in, pretend that they're like, you know, Jews searching, but really we're missionaries. He said, yeah, it happened once in all my years, and we caught them within 3 minutes. He said, how'd you catch them? It's very simple. So when they walked in, they asked us for yarmulkes. We knew they weren't Jewish. Jewish people, non-religious people that come in, they don't ask for yarmulkes right away. They fight with you and they tell you like why and what, and you know, there's like they were too easy. They were so easy. We said, okay, something's wrong over here. That's how we caught them. I remember I have a friend named Dr. Howie Leibowitz. He's a doctor in Lakewood. Maybe some of you know him. He's my son. Anyway, Dr. Leibowitz was giving a class in Esha Torah. I happened to have been there, the codes, and sitting next to him was this Jewish guy, this liberal, and he was talking about how, you know, all religions are right and everyone has the right to their opinion. So Dr. Leibowitz said, everyone has the right to their opinion. You have the right to be wrong, but you're wrong. The guy got so angry. He's like, what are you saying? How could you say that? It's like an insult. And I said, look, the Muslims are wrong. The Christians are wrong. And it's just, they're allowed to be wrong, but they're wrong. They're just wrong. It's like, that's not fair. And you're judgmental. And he got into this whole big fight. Anyway, the next class was Dr. Leibowitz's class. This guy, this liberal guy with his long hair, he's like, I'm not going in. I'm not listening to that guy. I'm not doing it. He's narrow-minded. He's judgmental. He's this. I'm not going. I'm not going to his class. He's got into like this whole huff. I was there when this whole thing was going down. So they said, like, you know, you could go to the class. Feel free to argue with him. Feel free. So they went to this class. And there's this debate going on between the two of them. Like, you know, everyone's in the class. Like, there are as many people as in this room. But basically, it's two people in the room. Everyone else is spectators. And it was fierce. But Dr. Leibowitz won him over. And Dr. Leibowitz said, what do you do now? I proved it to you. So the guy said, I guess I'm going to yeshiva. And he did. And he stuck through yeshiva, and he stayed there, and he changed his whole life around. He was rough at the beginning. We're fighters, because we're stubborn people. But once you convince us, so then we'll do everything. We'll drop everything we're doing. We'll let go of all of the garbage, and we're gonna buy in. I'll tell you one last story. I was by my Rebbe's house. His name is Rav David Cohen. David Cohen is the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron. Those of you that live here for sure know Rav David. Those of you that have been here for a while know Rav David. Some of you don't. I was talking to the Yarchi Kala, the people from the Yarchi Kala from the Mir, and you know, where did they take them? To Rav David Cohen. Rav David is today considered to be, you know, I'm not going to say the Gadol B'Yisrael, there's Reb Chaim Kanievsky, there's Reb Gershon Edelstein, and Reb David Cohen. But he's there. He's there considered to be the top of the Gdolim in the world today. I was at Reb David's house. And this was many, many, many years ago. He had a little son who had a lot of energy. And his wife told my wife, I only heard the second hand, but this is how we heard it, that she went to her mother-in-law and she's like, I don't know what to do with this kid. He's like all over the place. The kid doesn't sit still. He's running, he's coming. He's got so much energy. I don't know what to do with the guy. So her mother-in-law, which is David's mother, said to her, don't worry about it. Your husband was the same way when he was a kid. It's the same thing. He'll be just fine. Reb David had so much energy when he was a kid, and he just channeled that energy. And he's not a machine because he's a human being, but he learns like unbelievable, and the amount that he does and the things that he takes upon himself and everything that's going on, it's unbelievable. But that all comes because he's channeling. It's not because he's a deadbeat. He's not a boring person at all. He's super gishmak. I know him very, very well. But he's channeling everything he has for a purpose. He uses every single moment wisely. And the fact that we're going to be able to spend Shabbos with Reb David this Shabbos is, I can't describe to you the schus. I can just tell you one thing. Reb David is going to be going to America for a Siyum HaShas. Be'ez Hashem, L'siyat HaShemayim should be well. I know there are people that are fighting. They'll give tens of thousands of dollars. He should walk into their home. Just that. Just that. I know, because people have spoken to me about it already. The fact that we have the opportunity to spend Shabbos with a Gadol B'Yisrael like this, you can interact with him, you can talk to him and learn, and you can talk to him in Hashkafa. I can guarantee you that when you're older, you're going to be able to tell your children, your grandchildren, I spent Shabbos with Reb David. He's still young, relatively. He was the youngest member of Moetzes. When he joined the Moetzes, he was the youngest. He's, you know, he's not as young as he used to be, but relatively young. But as time goes on, Reb David is going to is maturing into that position. You're able to spend Shabbos with him. It's an unbelievable thing. I remember one time we were sitting there with Reb David by the hotel. I had to show him something. So he said, come, meet me outside by the entrance to the hotel. So we're sitting in the hotel, and I don't know if it's the same hotel, I don't remember. I think it might have been. There's no like place to sit, so he sat on the curb. Reb David sat on the floor. It's like, come, Chaim Tzvi, come sit with me. It's like, he's an unbelievable simple person. Like, he has no gaiva at all. It's just like, so we're sitting there on the floor, me and him, I'm showing him something, and some guy drives up who's in the hotel, and he was like, out of his kelim, I'm like, I can't, the Rosh Yeshiva's here for Shabbos? The Rosh Yeshiva's here for Shabbos? He says, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's Shabbos, I'm here for Shabbos. But they couldn't believe it. He's a person that channeled all of his energies, and that's really what it's about. And if a person says, you know, I have a hard time because I got so much going on, so the more you have going on, the more you channel that, the more that you're capable of. Key. Im amnam seichel ha'anoishi roya rak le'einayim b'chitzoinias midoisenu ki roisem. Our eyes, all we could see is the manifestation, how it's coming out, and it looks like it's bad. Sholach Hashem lanu esabal shem toiv. Zecher tzadik livrocho, the heilige Baal Shem, ish Elokim kadosh, such a holy man, Ves Talmidav HaKadoshim Acharav, and his holy disciples, Ma'ire Yisrael, they're the lights of Israel, Ve'heim Limdois Anu, Sha'amidois Vish Yisrael, Kadoshois Heim, the Midois and Klal Yisrael are holy, Mimoroim Heim Oifiois, they're coming from Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a neshama, Mishtal Shalois, as they're coming down, and they're transforming, and they're becoming a part of our being, Rak Boilam Azeh, V'guf Shalom Azeh, and they're just in this world, and they have a physical body. Im ein yoidim echlis naig behem. We don't know how to use them. Nishtane mareim, and niram lerois. They look bad. It looks bad. It's not really bad. Your neshama is a chelak olkam imal. How in the world could that be bad? Impossible. It's not. Mashal lemayim zakim, bitzluchiyos mizuama. You have a dirty cup. You have a dirty cup. You pour water into the cup. You might think the water is dirty. The water is not dirty. It's just the receptacle that's holding the water is dirty. Just clean that, and the water is pure. Shegam hamayim nirim mizuamim mibachutz. But it's not true. We say every morning, Moida ani lefanecha, shechazarta bi nishmasi, and then we say Elokai. Nishama shenasata bi tohoirahi. Nishama shenasata bi tohoirahi. Which means the neshama you put inside of me is pure. We don't say it was pure. We don't say, Hashem, I had a pure neshama, but I messed that thing up so bad. It is not messed up. Your neshama is still pure today. It's tohoirahi presently. What we have to do is we have to try to make sure that we clean out just the cup, the goof. And then the neshama will shine. Then we'll be able to see all the tremendous midas. But right now, we're just not using it properly. Beis Hashem, b'li neder, we're going to continue next week.